Moncrief on News Talk.
As you've been hearing on the news, that tent encampment around Mount Street is being cleared out, and the row continues between Ireland and the UK about people coming over the border. Now, while we'd all agree that the system in this country is under extreme strain, we thought it would be useful to run through exactly what happens when someone seeking international protection arrives in this country and what the process is after that. Carol Sinnott is Principal of Sinnott Solicitors Dublin and founding member of the Irish Immigration Lawyers Association. Carol, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. One of the founding members.
Right.
I just want to qualify that.
Okay, one of the founding members. We don't want to cause bickering. Now, when somebody applies for international protection, are they required to do it at a border, as in when they've arrived in at the airport or at a port, or can they enter the country and ask for it at a later date?
No, they can enter the country and ask for it at a later date.
And
so there are a lot of people who fly into Ireland and don't immediately apply for international protection. Some of them wait for a few days or weeks or months for various reasons. Say, for example, people that apply, there are some people that apply after years here because the situation in their home country has changed since they first arrived or whatever, you know.
Mm, right. OK, yes. Yeah. So when a person then presents themselves to apply for it, take us through that particular process.
Sure. So there's a process at the moment for people that apply from safe countries. So countries such as Georgia, Albania, Botswana, a couple of other countries, which is a slightly faster, accelerated process. But for most people that come in here and apply, they have to present themselves to the International Protection Office. And they'll have a very short preliminary interview whereby they identify themselves, talk about where they're from, how and why they came here. And they're then given a questionnaire, and I think they're given about 4 weeks to return that. And then they're called in for a very long interview, lengthy interview, going through, you know, every single piece of their story. And it's a very rigorous, lengthy interview.
Right. Now, just sorry to jump in, Carol, but at that stage in the process, are fingerprints taken? And what if the person doesn't have a form of identification, such as a passport?
Yeah, so at the preliminary interview, when they present themselves to the IPO first, that's when their fingerprints are taken, and those are then entered into the Eurodac system, which is the European system for holding it's the database for holding all of that information.
The person turns up initially, their fingerprints are taken, they fill out a form at that point, and then when they go back for a second interview, how detailed is that?
Very detailed, yeah. That interview goes through every single piece of their claim, you know, from every part of their story, and it's quite a rigorous interview.
And so then, who then decides on the outcome of the thing then, and how long can that take?
Yeah, so that's the International Protection Office then issues a decision on that outcome, and that normally takes from the time that the person has the interview to the time that they get the decision. They would normally have that within about a month. And if that decision is refused, that person then can appeal to the International Protection Office, where they would have a right to an oral hearing. And from the time that they appeal, it takes about 8 to 9 months to get a hearing date.
Okay. And then when you get a hearing date, how long can that process take?
So normally from the time that the case is heard, the person should have a decision within about a month.
Okay. And then if that decision is no, are they deported? Are they given a timeline to kind of decamp the country?
So if that decision is negative, if they're refused refugee status or subsidiary protection, they're then given an opportunity to apply for what's called humanitarian leave. They have 5 days within which to make an application for humanitarian leave, which where a person can apply to stay here on humanitarian grounds in relation to their family and domestic circumstances and their connection to the state and that. If that is refused, the next port of call then is a proposal to deport, deportation order effectively.
And then who would carry out that deportation order?
Well, that's up to the state then to bring that deportation order to a final conclusion. And so a person that gets a deportation order, that person could be here for quite some time before they're ever deported.
Ah, right. Because they're waiting for, I assume, the guards to come and put them on a plane, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so normally what happens is the person is required to present themselves to Garda National Immigration Bureau at various intervals. So they'll be required to keep in touch with GNIB and to continually report to them, the idea being that they will eventually receive, that they will eventually be deported.
Mm. And so that can be months, years?
Oh, yeah. It can go on for, a number of years. It would be very unusual to see somebody deported within a number of months, so there are a lot of people out there that would have deportation orders issued against them for a number of years.
Mm. Now, while all this is going on, if the person requires accommodation and they're put into a direct provision centre, are they allowed to apply for a job, and what kind of subsistence are they given?
Yeah, so if they haven't received a decision within five months of their initial application, they're entitled to apply for what's called the Labour Market Access Scheme, where they can apply to work in the country. And so they are allowed to do that. But just going back to your, I think you were asking me about people that in direct provision, maybe with deportation orders. Just a few years ago, about 40% of people in direct provision centres had deportation orders, but they were very much in a limbo situation because they weren't entitled to work, and they weren't entitled to seek work, and yet they were just being, not being deported, but expected to just stay in direct provision centres without any means or any opportunities or any opportunities to seek employment.
Right. Okay. Because most people are given, what is it, 38 euro a month for adults. So if the deportation order arrives, is that money is cut off, but you're still in direct provision?
I'm not sure if it's 38 euro per week.
Per month, I think. Weekly. My mistake. Sorry, it's weekly. Yeah.
So that allowance continues. It is a very small allowance.
Mm. But if you're in the process and you haven't received a result yet, you can start working at some point, can you?
Oh yeah, at the moment. You are entitled to apply to work after a period of 5 months. So if you're an asylum seeker in Ireland and you've been waiting for a decision for over 5 months from the initial application, well, then you are entitled to seek work, and you are entitled to work whilst you're awaiting the outcome of your application.
Mm. Is it your, and from your experience, Carol, is it your impression that the system's under somewhat strain dealing with all this?
Yeah, the system was, in my view, I don't think the system was ever that efficient, but they certainly, with the influx of refugees or asylum seekers in the past couple of years, it seems that it is under significant pressure at the moment. There's significant delays in processing the applications and, getting the hearing dates and just processing the applications from the beginning to the end.
Carol, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Carol Sinnott is Principal of Sinnott Solicitors Dublin and a founding member of the Irish Immigration Lawyers Association.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.